Welcome to the March 27th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Tommy Iafredi in person. As we begin to return to more normal ways of living our lives 2 years into the pandemic, we'll consider how we might renew old patterns and traditions in light of what we've learned.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley on the native lands of the Tutelo and Monacan people, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Tommy Iafredi, and today I am so delighted to be serving live and in person as today's worship associate with Reverend Pam. If you're with us for the first time, we're glad that you found us. You'll find a link to the virtual visitor's card in the chat or a paper card in the back of the sanctuary. Fill it out if you'd like us to keep in touch with you. If you have a joy or a sorrow that you would like to be shared aloud, you'll find a link in the chat or cards near the entrance to the sanctuary that someone will collect during our opening hymn. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. See the calendar on our website for times, locations, links, and contact information. Thanks to all the volunteers this morning and throughout the week who make these activities possible.
I am so thrilled to have Tommy here in person and thrilled to have all of you on Zoom here with us this morning. If you're new to Zoom, there are lots of buttons on the bottom that can help you navigate. Keep your microphone turned off by clicking on that mute button that looks like a microphone. In a minute, we'll greet each other, and if you can turn on your video so we can see you, that would be wonderful. And if the transcription is bothering you, you can click on the little CC box, and it will tell you how to show or hide the subtitles and make them bigger or smaller. In the sanctuary, if you would put your phones into worship mode, turning off the ringers so that they don't interrupt us, that would be great. I want to lift up a few announcements. Today, Jamie will be leading a community conversation on politics. Can we talk? And in this conversation, you'll explore how you talk about politics and our hopes for improving how we do and consider the impact this has on our relationships with friends and family. It's not about issues, it's about how you talk about issues. And you can join that conversation on Zoom at 11:30, or you can join Jamie in the library here in the meeting house. I also want to lift up some of the activities, the stewardship activities happening this week. If we can put that on the screen for people at home and here. Today at Warm Hearth Village, there'll be a meet and greet at 2:30. Next Saturday, there are three events from which to choose. You can start off your day doing work on the grounds with other folks here, go outside and move some mulch and do a lot of other work, and get pizza afterwards. If you still have any energy, you can sign up to go for a hike to McDonald Hollow with the Vanilos. And then in the evening, I hope this is right, we're gonna have a campfire and concert. Jim Kern is gonna be playing the guitar and y'all can sing along or just listen, and there'll be a campfire, and hopefully it will not be as cold as it was this weekend. So those are some of the great opportunities we have as we cultivate our community. And now is Sarah here? Yeah, no? We usually have someone up here talking to us about what the children are doing, and that's not gonna happen today, but just rest assured that the children are downstairs in our RE classes doing all kinds of fun stuff. So it is now that time in our service when we get to greet one another. So those of you who are at home, if you would turn your videos on and write in the chat where you are joining us from, and we will get a chance to see you up on the screen. So you are up on the screen in the sanctuary, so if you wave to everyone, and Brianna is coming here from Pulaski. Where else are you? Clyde's all the way from Spokane, got up early. Tony from Roanoke. Cynthia's in Blacksburg. Molly and Mother from Rochester, New York. Blacksburg, Chile, Christiansburg. Greetings from Galax. Hi from Floyd, from Pulaski, from Highland Park. Christiansburg, Price's Fork, Radford, Blacksburg. We are so glad that you are with us this morning. So now you get to see the people in the sanctuary. Everybody in the sanctuary, get ready and smile and wave. And you actually get to see their smiling faces because we have optional masking this morning. You can still see a smile on Earl even though she's wearing a mask. It's a special one. This still reminds me of when we walked by the TV store and we could see ourselves on the TVs. How old am I? We have greeted one another, and it is so good to be together.
Please join me as we read the words on the screen as we light the chalice. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Our opening words were written by the Reverend Gary Kowalski. In this quiet hour, may our spirits be renewed. In this gathering of friends, may we be ready to extend ourselves to those in need and with trust to receive the hand that is offered. In this community of ideals, may we remember the principles that guide us and reflect upon those things that give meaning to our lives, renewing our dedication to serve the highest that we know. In this time of worship, may our minds be open to new truth and our hearts be receptive to love as we give thanks for this life we are blessed to share. Please join me in reading our congregational covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
And so, we are in the middle of our stewardship pledge drive, and each week we're inviting another member of our congregation to talk to us about stewardship. And this morning, I'm delighted that Denise Martin, part of our grounds ministry, has agreed to speak with us. Denise.
Jews. Good morning. When Rev Pam asked me a few weeks ago if I'd be willing to talk about my experience with stewardship, I very enthusiastically said yes. As the time got a little closer, I began to realize that I really needed to dive a little deeper into what stewardship meant to me and how it manifests itself for myself in the UUC community. According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, stewardship is the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. I love that phrase, entrusted to one's care. I have had the good fortune to spend many hours in the UUC garden. It was a place where I was first welcomed into the UUC community by Isabel Burney. I thought it would be the perfect place for me since it involved being outside, but I didn't actually have to talk to anybody. Now you can see that that part of the equation has not worked out the way I thought, to my good fortune. Isabel introduced me to the lovely Susan Baker, who graciously took me under her wing and taught me how to care for and manage the ground. I had never had a garden, before, so she really had her work cut out for her. Of the many amazing experiences I've had in the garden, there's one day that stands out above all others. I was working up by the berm where so many vines and brambles had taken over the area. It was January 2021, so it was quite cold, but the sky was blue, the sun was shining, and I decided it was the perfect time to start to pull out all those weeds and brambles. I went up there with my clippers and my loppers and I started cutting away. Many of the trees had vines wrapped so tightly around their limbs that there were grooves cut into the bark. I would unwrap as much as I could, and then I would just start tugging away, trying to pull down the thicket of vines from the tops of the trees. Keep you in suspense, what happens next? Now, I can be a somewhat stubborn person, but I truly met my match when it came to trying to dislodge those vines from those trees. I finally gave one last big tug, and a whole shower of vines came tumbling down on my head. I glanced up at the tree, and the now free limbs joyfully sprang upright and swayed back and forth as if in celebration. Kind of reminded me of one of those things you see outside the car wash that goes like this, because that's exactly what they did. At the same moment, I realized that my heart had also leapt up in joy for having been a part of helping those trees flourish. Clearing out all those vines helped me to also clear out many things that were holding me down. Old worries and concerns that had wrapped themselves around my heart. As I reflected on this moment, I realized that stewardship is what allows me to grow in ways that go beyond just offering my time and money. When I carefully and responsibly act, I allow all things to grow stronger. Thank you.
So what you may not know is how many hours of care both Denise and Susan Baker and some of their helpers have put into our grounds. So I just want to say thank you for your stewardship of our grounds. And let's thank her again. Warms my heart. And walking on the grounds is one of the most spiritually satisfying experiences you can have. So it's a beautiful day. Go for a walk. So you can see we have $224,085 towards our goal of $357,000. And we've had 81 pledges out of about 170 possible pledges. If you look at the next slide, you can see I figured out how to make these graphs. We're over 50% of the way, we're over 60% of the way towards our monetary goal, and we're almost to half of the pledges. So if everybody who hasn't pledged pledges, we may stop the pledge drive early.
One way that we fulfill our mission as you use is by collecting an offering. Every week, our congregation shares half of the offering with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. And this week's recipient is the New River Community Action's Rapid Rehousing, which offers financial and other assistance to clients who meet the Department of Housing and Urban Development's definition of literally homeless so that they can obtain stable, permanent housing. Team members offer counseling to clients on housing search assistance, budgeting, mediation with landlords and neighbors if needed. You may give online using the link in the chat or through the other ways listed on the screen. You'll be able to give after the service as well. For those in the sanctuary who would like to give cash or check, there is a basket in back. Thank you all for your generosity. As we collect our offering, we'll enjoy Jared playing Gnosien number 1 by Eric Satie, during which you're invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. Please remember to maintain distance between yourself and others. For those online, you may write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud after the offertory.
I invite you now into the mood of meditation. Wherever you are, settle yourself in your seat. Take a breath if it feels good. Soften your shoulders. Soften your gaze, or even close your eyes, so that you can be present to the words of my classmate and colleague, the Reverend Teresa Soto. In this community, we hold hope close. We don't always know what comes next, but that cannot dissuade us. We don't always know just what to do, but that will not mean that we are lost in the wilderness. We rely on the certainty beneath, the foundation of our values and ethics. We are the people who return to love like a north star and to the truth that we are greater together than we are alone. Our hope does not live in some glimmer of an indistinct future. Rather, we know the way to the world of which we dream. And by covenant and the movement forward of one right action and the next, we know that one day we will arrive at home. Amen. And blessed be.
Our reading today is from The Pandemic is a Portal by the novelist and political activist Arundhati Roy. What is this thing that has happened to us? It's a virus, yes. In and of itself, it holds no moral brief, but it is definitely more than a virus. It has made the mighty kneel and brought the world to a halt like nothing else could. Our minds are still racing back and forth, longing for a return to normality, trying to stitch our future to our past, and refusing to acknowledge the rupture. But the rupture exists. And in the midst of this terrible despair, it offers us a chance to rethink the doomsday machine we have built for ourselves. Nothing could be worse than a return to normality. Historically, pandemics have forced humans to break with the past and imagine their world anew. This one is no different. It is a portal, a gateway between one world and the next. We can choose to walk through it, dragging the carcasses of our prejudice and hatred, our avarice, our data banks and dead ideas, our dead rivers and smoky skies behind us. Or we can walk through it lightly, with little luggage, ready to imagine another world and ready to fight for it.
It's hard to believe that the article from which our reading comes is nearly 2 years old. Roy was writing about the experience of the world, and more specifically, her home country, India, after just 2 weeks of the shutdown caused by COVID. On April 2nd, 2020, no one had any idea how long the pandemic would last, how many lives would be lost, how changed our world and our perspective of it would be. And yet, already, Roy and others were gleaning lessons from the pandemic that they didn't want to lose when and if they returned to normality. The pandemic, even early on, brought to the forefront many of the inequities and injustices that weren't as obvious before or were more easily overlooked. In Roy's country, the sudden shutdown meant migrant workers were forced to leave the cities where they worked to return to their villages. But then they were harassed by the police for breaking the shutdown. Muslims in India were the target of hatred and conspiracy theories. And the poor, as always, suffered the most. Likewise, in the United States, we saw disproportionate effects on marginalized communities, with less health access and worse outcomes for brown and black people, and less access to things like schooling for students due to the digital divide. But while some people weathered the shutdown better than others, the virus was initially indiscriminate. Rich or poor, old or young, black or white, the virus didn't recognize all the divisions in our society. We were all vulnerable. We were all connected. We were one. 2 years ago, after just a few weeks of shutdown, we were already longing for a return to normalcy. And we were already beginning to learn lessons we needed to learn, that we could do more than we ever thought possible. Remember the satellite photographs of cities that were usually covered with smog? And all of a sudden, the air was crystal clear because people weren't in all those automobiles driving everywhere. Roy wrote then, "And even while the virus proliferates, who could not be thrilled by the swell of birdsong in cities, peacocks dancing at traffic crossings, and the silence in the skies?" Can you remember what it was like 2 years ago? And now, 2 years later, as we are edging closer and closer to a new normal, we are faced with the opportunity and the responsibility to consider how we want to walk through the portal from the old world to the new. Do we want to drag our attachment to old ways of doing things? Or do we want to take this opportunity for renewal, to make changes in the way we live our lives, the way we treat ourselves and one another? Last week, we talked about our need for hope and faith in the face of some of the wicked problems in our world. My hope is that we really must remember the lessons we learned about inequity and injustice that were highlighted through the pandemic. But this week, I invite us all to think closer to home, to consider how we want to move through the portal between the old world and the new one, in our own lives and as a congregation. Think about what you've learned about yourself and the way you want to live your life in the past 2 years. What have you discovered about what is important to you? What are you glad to have learned about what you want and need to feel that you are living your best life? I did a very unscientific survey last week and to find out what some of us want to take with us into the new normality of our lives. One person said that they learned that they were much more flexible than they had ever imagined themselves to be. All the things they thought they needed to be able to do their job weren't necessary after all. They could do their job at home without all the technology in the office. Many of us had to learn or to realize we could be more flexible. I learned that my living room could serve as a worship hub. Did you discover some unimagined flexibility in your life? How might that serve you in the future? Another person cited their realization that control is just an illusion, that they had much less control over their lives than they thought. And there is freedom in that, isn't there? If you can control everything, then you must control everything. Talk about responsibility. But recognizing that our control over our lives is limited means that it's okay to go with the flow, to make the best of the situation. Thinking about that just makes me want to take a deep breath and just set down everything that I've been carrying. Has your relationship with control changed? How might that serve you in the future? Someone else said that they have decided that it's important to do less better. When COVID limited what they could do in their work, they realized that concentrating on one thing meant that they could focus their attention and their efforts and do it better. So often in our lives, we try to do it all, which sometimes means all the things get only so much time, energy, and attention. But when through circumstances or choice, we focus on just one thing, we can give it our best shot. We can do less better. How might that serve you? And as I'm saying these words to you, I'm realizing that each of those three lessons are ones that I need to be learning right now in my life. Dang it. They always say that you preach the thing you need to hear the most. Yet another person lifted up their appreciation for face-to-face interactions. After all those Zoom meetings, when we could only connect with each other virtually, what a joy it has been to be able to be together in person. What a joy it is to lead worship with Tommy here instead of there. Who knew that being in someone's physical presence would ever feel so precious? Or how much lifting our voices in song together meant to us. As we make our way through the portal between our old world and the new, it is good to consider what we will carry with us into the future. But it's also good to acknowledge that there's much to mourn from the past 2 years. It's okay to grieve for what we've lost, for the things that won't come back. But there's also a lot to celebrate, a lot of experiences and lessons that made our lives richer, healthier, more compassionate, and more meaningful. So, what do you want to bring forward? Take a moment to consider the lessons, the learnings, the aha moments from these past 2 years that you just don't want to forget. It may have been something you learned that first week of shutdown. What has made your life more meaningful? What do you want to carry through the portal from the past to the future? No, really think about it, because I'm going to ask you to tell me, to tell all of us. Those of you at home, if you could write in the chat what you'd like to take forward with you We'll share it here in the sanctuary. And you all here, raise your hand, and I'll repeat what you say so everyone can hear you. What's something you want to take forward? Yeah.
Community.
Gratitude. Yeah.
Appreciation.
Yes.
Even more faith in science.
Even more faith in science. Yeah.
Kindness.
Naps.
All right, we're getting to the nitty gritty here. Amen to that. I'm going to find my chat here so I can see what people at home are saying. Nonviolent communication techniques of Marshall Rosenberg. Awareness of what is truly important. Forgiveness for me and others. Patience. Caring action for others is more important than my own preferences. Spending more time outdoors. Solitude as invigorating. A multitude of ways to connect with others. The warmth of being with others in whatever mode. Connecting with others and walking more. Self-care is vital. The need to bring and experience joy. Any more in here? Yeah.
Spending time with animals.
Spending time with animals. Yes. Setting boundaries. Yeah, we all have a different sense of what our personal space is, don't we? Last week at the end of the service, we rose in body and spirit for the final hymn, and I saw people reaching their hands out because we used to hold hands during the benediction. I don't know if you remember, but the week before we shut down, I invited everyone to put their hands over their hearts because we were afraid to touch each other. And you know what? That was really good for some people because they don't like touching each other. Isabel hated holding hands. So I want to bring forward a recognition that it's okay to ask for what you need and that everyone has a different comfort level. Anything else? I invite you to think in the week ahead if there are other things that you haven't thought about for a long time. 2 years ago seems like such a long time, doesn't it? I've been trying to put myself back into that space. I don't want to forget the things I learned. As a congregation, we are bringing all kinds of lessons forward into our shared future. When I attended a meeting with other worship leaders, ministers from all over the country who are Unitarian Universalists, to talk about how to do dual platform services, what we're doing today, they asked us what were the most important values and principles we want to consider moving forward. So that the technology wasn't really the issue. It's what are we grounded in? What are our principles? And it was really easy for me. Given our mission to create compassionate community, I said that what was most important to me was that we create a sense of community when we started having in-person and online services. I wanted to figure out how to make us feel like we were together. Even though some of us are at home. Other congregations stream their services on YouTube or Facebook, which can make for a more polished and perfect service. But there's no interaction. It was important to me, and I think to this congregation, that even if we couldn't be together physically, we could still hear and see each other. That Tommy could lead worship from New York. That people online can react to what's happening in the sanctuary and can participate in lighting candles of hope and remembrance and sharing joys and sorrows. That transportation or health issues or distance doesn't get in the way of joining on Sunday mornings or other times throughout the week. That Clyde can join us from Spokane, and my sister can join us from Italy, and Avi's friend from Mumbai, India. What a thing! That we intentionally widen the circle in all the ways we can so that ours is a truly compassionate community that will inspire spiritual and ethical growth and transform our community and the world through courageous love in whatever ways possible, in ways we have not yet imagined. Let's be faithful in the renewal of our community. Let's be faithful in the renewal of a new normal. Let's be faithful to our principles and ideals as we walk through that portal into our future. We are connected. We are together. We are a compassionate community. Let us take what we have here out into the world, because the world needs compassion and love. The world needs you. Amen.